This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're now joined by Themba Forsey, the MMC for Utilities and Regional Operations and Coordination. Good morning.
Good morning, Lera. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for coming through. I mean, you would have heard briefly as we spoke to the MMC for Finance that a big campaign here is Tshwane ya Dima, and central to Tshwane ya Dima is getting people back connected to the electricity grid, but also making sure that people are paying for electricity and water services right in your ambit. So, successes?
Yes, there are successes, Lerato. We are moving. It might be a snail pace, but we are moving. Amongst other things that we're finding during the campaign is the illegal connections that are being pushed by residents, business, etc., etc. Lerato, we've got 24 billion that's in the residents and business that are supposed to come to us so that we can be able to push service delivery.
Wow.
So that's quite a lot of money. We're pushing now, at least even if we can have just 2 billion a month so that we can be able to stay afloat and be able to push basic service delivery, break and fix day-to-day issues.
What are people saying? I mean, I read a report and I found it astounding that even one of the SARS offices in the city is outstanding on its rates and taxes. And I was like, finger wagging, even SARS. But why do such big users struggle to pay?
I think it's economy. One thing is that the second part is the issue of COVID. Most people lost their jobs. Businesses not doing so well.
Right.
But Lerato, what I normally say to people is that don't just sit around. Yeah. Come to us, talk to us so that we can have a proper arrangement that meets you. You'll appreciate in the township area, which is where the problem is.
Yeah.
You find that there are child-headed homes or a gogo that's staying there. So the importance is that for us to know that, okay, there is a gogo that is staying there taking care of 2-3 kids.
Yeah.
Gogo, come through so that we can sit you down and have an arrangement. There's a certain amount of electricity that we are giving to the gogos and especially those in the indigent. We give them a certain provision of electricity and a certain provision of water so that obviously they can be able to live.
Yeah.
But we found that there's also an extension of an abuse where you'd find a Themba who's staying with, I'm still staying in the township, and I'm driving a nice car, but the account bill still under Gogo, and Gogo comes in for an indigent. When we come for audits, we find that there's four or five people who are staying there. That's the first part. The second element is that over usage. I understand the social economic dynamics in the township areas, but there's what we call backyard dwellers. Now, at the backyard, you find there's four or five guys who are staying there, who are also paying the landlord. And now the consumption far surpasses of what Gogo would ordinarily use.
Yeah.
So those are the things that we're looking at also.
Okay, so a little bit of citizen corruption, actually.
That's quite a lot. I mean, the township establishments. Lerato, the issue of land grab alone, it is a pain. Let me tell you what it does. Not only is it a question of people wanting to have accommodation and all of that, they're tampering into the infrastructure. Now, they're affecting Lerato, who's a paying citizen, because they're tapping into the substation that Lerato is paying for. They're tapping into our water. You find typical example is that of Mamelodi, where ratepayers are not having to proper provision of water because people who have occupied the land, they have tapped into the reservoir.
Yeah.
So it's multifaceted.
Okay, and this does echo some of the sentiments of our callers who came in earlier on and said, when you're speaking to the officials in Tshwane, ask them what they are doing about illegal connections, informal settlements, which are also encroaching on areas where you could be fixing infrastructure. So you could be setting a water pipeline, but they're on that piece of land. Crime, and then also the illegal immigration issue. Now, it's a lot, and I don't think it all falls under your purview, but those are some of the concerns that residents of Tshwane are having.
Lerato, I think you nicely put it. One is that not every land in the city belongs to the city.
Yeah.
Some of the land belongs to the provincial government, some it's the national government.
Okay.
So what then happens is that obviously people without understanding, they encroach on every land, whether you find a big bulk pipe where the servitude goes to the reservoir.
Yeah.
I mean, building in that infrastructure alone, it is dangerous because anything can happen to a pipe. We had such an issue in Mamelodi, exactly that. But we're not just throwing our hands in the air and saying, no, this is what is happening. Yes, as I speak to you, there is a supplier that has been appointed to make sure we close off all our reservoirs in the city and be able to put a watchman to be able to cut that. The issue of the accelerated issue of land grab also emanated during COVID, because at that time we were not allowed to move people. So ordinarily, if you 24 hours, a shake there, we can go and be able to push a bylaw. But then during COVID, it was then obviously it was in the media that the state said, no, hold on to that because we're going through that. Yeah. As a result, that accelerated a whole lot of land grabs to such an extent that it went as far as the reservoirs. Now that we are back, everything is up and running. People have occupied the infrastructure. Exactly on that. The amount of vandalism that comes with that, because obviously tapping into that, you need to have certain expertise.
Right. Okay, and so what you're saying is during those lockdown, extended lockdown periods, where the constitutional principles kicked in, people took advantage of that, started occupying land, knowing that by the time you have to remove them, again, those constitutional issues are going to come into play. So you're just faced with the crisis of the law and the proliferation of these informal settlements at one time and how that encroaches on core infrastructure. Big issue in Tswane seems to be water, sanitation of water, but provision of water. We know of the Hammanskraal crisis, not even just the treatment plant issue, but the fact that for the longest time, the water from there was not being treated at all. And now a lot of residents in Tswane say, if it's not shortages, it's quality of water. What's being done?
Okay. Loretta, I think we need to break this down before it started. Most of these regions, we call them regions now, but previously there were other municipalities. Yeah. There were district municipalities which did not belong to the city. Mm. The Kungweni, Nokengza Daimane, Odi municipalities, that was on the northwest.
Side.
So now what then happened when we came together, they did not have a master plan of changing their pipelines. They've always been using asbestos pipes. Now, 30 years is enough for an asbestos pipe. Mm. And the technology by that time, I mean, asbestos was the best thing to ever happen. Mm. Knowing what we know now, we're moving towards HDPE on the normal plastic pipes, which can, or even steel pipes, which can take a whole lot of pressure, and with a 99-year lifespan. It is easier than to have that. But with in the city or in areas where this Pretoria, the old Pretoria, we had pipes dating back to 1907 that we're still changing now. But in that in the Odi areas, Nokengza time, I don't know of that. There was no maintenance, there was nothing. So we are starting from scratch.
Wow.
So and the issue is that with asbestos pipe, you cannot fix one area. You fix one area down the line, it's going to burst. Okay. So you need to have proper capital to be able to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then if now with the small capital budget that we have in this department, you would rather focus on the outages so that you can make sure people have provision of water.
Okay.
Because if now I say, let me cut Atrajvi, let me cut my Melodi, let me focus on Mabane and do Mabane holistically, what will happen in the next 2 years? The whole area will be without water, or it will be sewer pipes that are leaking.
So you're facing a lot of trade-offs, is what you're saying.
It's a complexity of things.
Okay, so managing old, aging infrastructure more than 100 years old, introducing new technology. It's also the expansion of the city, taking in new areas from different regions. And then it's capital expenditure versus maintenance that you've got to work through. Okay, and a final question, refurbishments of the Rooival Water Treatment Plant. I know you've given us an understanding of what you're facing in terms of spending money, using the technology, deploying it, but this particular issue has been very much foremost of mind.
Lerato, actually, when I had sat with the mayor, amongst my KPIs was that we need to move on Rooival. We were invited in this executive leadership program in Cape Town together with the executive mayor. Fortunately, we met the minister there. Now we decided, let's take out our political caps, let's sit down and sort out the mess that is happening there. I can tell you now, Lerato, that by September, end of September, the people of Hammanskraal will have the first drop, that a portable drop of water that they can be able to drink. One, proper meters that will be installed through a package plant at the Mahalis that we've decided that whilst we sort out the issue of Rooival, provision of water in the meantime.
Okay.
We tapped into the nearer water treatment plant which belongs to Mahalis.
Okay.
Then the agreement was that then they will install a package plant that will provide water, and then whilst we sort out this. I can tell you now that a week ago we went there for sod turning. Immediately after that we went to the community to present this, and also to present the Rooival, that there is a supplier that has been now on site. The first phase will be done by next year, and the second phase obviously with another investment.
So a lot of work is being done, but let's just get the timeline right. By the end of September this year, people in Hammanskraal can expect to drink the first drop of clean treated water.
100%.
And it will come from a plant in Magaliesberg as you're fixing the rest
Magalies
of the
water.
Magalies treatment,
yes,
as you're fixing the rest
as we're
of
fixing
the.
Fixing the Rooival. Remember, okay, the essence of Rooival now is to get the proper quality of effluent to get into the Dapis River towards the Otemba water treatment plant. But because it's going to be a longer term, whilst the water mafia tankers are still benefiting, then we decided to have a holistic approach. Let's have a temporary solution that will be able to give people a farmer's
Club. So breaking the hold of the mafia, and Nizi Zwelebantu Basa Hammanskraal, 30th of September, when you open your tap, clean water. Otherwise, we're coming to ask you again, Temba Forsey, MMC for Utilities and Regional Coordination. It's news time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.